Well, my boy, during the early days of my stay in the town of Kurkalai, I often talked with my friend the priest Abdil on various subjects, taking care, of course, to avoid questions that might have betrayed my real nature. Like almost all the three-brain beings I met on each of my descents, he took me for a being of his own planet, but considered me very learned and an authority on the psyche of his fellow beings. From our earliest meetings, the sensitivity and concern with which he spoke about beings like himself always touched me deeply. And when my reason had clearly recognized that the function of conscience, transmitted to him by heredity and fundamental for all three centered beings, had not yet quite atrophied in him, there arose and eventually became crystallized in my presence a really functioning, needful striving toward him as though he were a kinsman of my own nature. And from that moment, according to the cosmic law that every cause gives birth to a corresponding result, the priest Abdil began to experience silnagordpanna toward me, or as your favorites would say, a feeling of trusting another as oneself. So, my boy, no sooner was all this clearly evident to my reason than the idea occurred to me to avail myself of this first terrestrial friend of mine to accomplish the task for the sake of which my second descent had been made. And I then began intentionally leading all our conversations toward the question of sacrificial offerings. Although many years have passed since I talked with that terrestrial friend of mine, I can still remember one of our conversations and repeat it to you word for word. I wish to repeat that particular talk, which was the last I had with him, because it served as the starting point of all the events which, though they brought the planetary existence of my terrestrial friend to a painful end, nevertheless opened to him the possibility of continuing the task of self-perfecting. This last talk took place in his house. I explained to him, frankly, the utter stupidity and absurdity of the custom of sacrificial offerings. What I said was this: good. You have a religion, a faith in something. It is very good to have faith in something, whatever it may be, even if you don't know exactly in whom or in what, even if you have not the least idea of the significance and the possibilities of what you have faith in. To have faith, whether consciously or even quite unconsciously, is very necessary and desirable for every being. And it is desirable because it is by faith and by faith alone that there can appear the intensity of being self-consciousness necessary for everyone, as well as the valuation of one's own being as a particle of everything existing in the universe. But what has the destruction of the existence of another being to do with this faith? Above all, when you destroy it in the name of its creator, does not that life which he created, as he created yours, have the same value as your own? Making use of your psychic strength and cunning, that is, those data with which your common creator has endowed you for the perfecting of your reason, you take advantage of the psychic weakness of other beings and destroy their existence. Do you understand, you wretched creature, what an evil deed in the objective sense you commit by this? First of all, by destroying the existence of other beings, you reduce for yourself the number of factors, the sum of whose results can alone provide the conditions required for the self-perfecting of beings like yourself. And in the second place, you diminish, if not entirely destroy, the hopes of our common Father Creator in those possibilities put into you as a three-brained being upon whom he counts as a help for the future. The absurdity of this terrible being action is already obvious in your imagining that by destroying the existence of another being, you're doing something pleasing to the very one who intentionally created that being. Can it be that the thought has never even entered your head that if our common Father Creator also created this life, he probably did so for some definite purpose? Think, I said further, think a little, not like a Garasnian donkey. As you have been used to thinking during your whole existence. But think a little honestly and sincerely, as is proper for a being to think, who is, as you say yourself, made in the image of God. Could it be that when creating you and the beings you destroy, our Creator would have written on the forehead of certain of his creatures that they were to be destroyed in his honor and glory? Anyone who thinks seriously and sincerely about it, even an idiot from Albion's Isles, will be able to understand that this could never be. This is only an invention of men. Men who say they are in the image and likeness of God. It does not come from him who created men and these other beings of different forms which they destroy as they fancy, for his pleasure and satisfaction. For him, there is no difference between the life of men and the life of beings of any other forms. Men are life, and the beings of other exterior forms are life. In his wisdom, he has foreseen that nature should adapt different exterior forms of beings to the conditions and circumstances in which the process of their existence is destined to flow. Take yourself, for example. With your internal and external organs, could you go jump into the water and live there like a fish? Of course not, because you have neither the gills, fins, nor tail of a fish. That is, a life destined to exist in a medium like water. If it occurred to you to go and live in the water, you would soon choke and sink to the bottom, where you would become an hors d'oeuvre for those same fish, who in their own medium would naturally be incomparably stronger than you. It is the same for the fish. Could one of them come and sit at this table with us and sip the green tea we are now enjoying? Certainly not. It has not the corresponding organs for manifestations of this kind. It was created for the water, and its internal and external organs are adapted to that element, which is the only one where it can manifest itself effectively and fulfill the purpose of its existence preordained by the Creator. Again, in your case, your external and internal organs were created by our common Creator in a corresponding manner. You are given feet so that you can walk, and hands to prepare and take the necessary food. Your nose and the organs connected with it are so adapted that you may take in and transform in yourself those cosmic substances that serve in three brain beings like yourself to coat the two higher being bodies, on one of which rests the hope of our common all-embracing Creator for help in his need to actualize what he has foreseen for the good of everything existing. In short, our common Creator has given nature the corresponding principle that enables her to coat and adapt all your internal and external organs in accordance with that sphere in which the process of existence of beings with such a brain system as yours is destined to flow.